men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Spirit of God, thank you for stirring in us once again. Oh God, would you open our ears to hear what you might be speaking to us. God, would you speak through me? And God, would you speak in spite of me? So that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My school was about a 15-minute walk from our house when I was growing up in Iceland, and many days I would walk to school, most days actually. And on those walks, I have lots of memories of things I would talk to myself, and I would share stories or make up stories. Sometimes I would sing, sometimes I would practice my beatboxing skills. And sometimes I would talk to God. And I remember a few times, or occasionally really, I would ask God to do some kind of miracle in front of my eyes so that I would really, really believe that God existed. And I remember one time I was walking and I stopped by a tree and I asked God to just bend the tree to the ground. And if God would bend the tree all the way to the ground right in front of my eyes, then I would really believe that God existed. I mean, after all, I would say to God, don't you want people to believe in you? Don't you want to show people that you really exist? Well, I guess it wouldn't surprise you to hear that that didn't happen and the tree did not bend all the way to the ground. For whatever reason, God doesn't tend to communicate with us in this way. God doesn't, at least to my knowledge, speak to us by bending trees to the ground at our demand. And yet still, as we get older, every now and again, we ask God to do some drastic things. These days, I've been asking God to do some drastic things. I imagine, I have a suggestion for God, actually. I'd like God to wake Donald Trump up one morning, and there would be this handwriting on the wall of Donald Trump's bedroom in the president's house, and it would just say, God is real, so is climate change. And Donald Trump would look at this message and just be blown away, and then a screen would descend from the heavens, and on that screen there would be images of all of the suffering faces of the children of God who would be most and are most affected by climate change. And Trump would see these images and just fall to the ground and be converted. And then, as the next morning would arise, he would wake up, and then in the sky, in the clouds, God would use the clouds for letters, and in the sky, in letters with clouds, it would say, "Stop lying." And then the next day, there would be more clouds that would spell out, "Stop cutting federal funding that helps aid the poor." And so on and so forth. There'd be a new message every morning that he woke up. And I imagine to myself, if only then, God, you could really talk to him and things would change. Maybe he'd really believe. Maybe he'd do the right thing. Maybe. Then again, if Trump did have those experiences, I suppose he could easily begin to think that he was just imagining things. These were just hallucinations. Because there's always a way out of believing. There's always a way to discount the messages from God. Faith has to come into the picture somehow, sometime. Here's what I do believe. That though God isn't necessarily speaking to us through writing messages in the clouds or bending trees to the ground, that God is still speaking to us in countless ways, in languages that we do know, in a language that we do understand. Because the story of Pentecost is not just about the people. It's actually also about God. The story is about God, who is the speaker of many tongues, communicating with us in ways that we do understand. That is, if we listen for it, and if we have faith, and if our eyes are open to what God might be trying to communicate. It seems as though God is actually performing miracles all the time. But for so long, we've understood the miracles in the wrong ways, or we've discounted what is miraculous. I'd like to share with you a poem by Mary Oliver. She helps me to understand the nature of the miraculous, and I'd like to read this poem to you. It's called "In the Storm." Some black ducks were shrugged up on the shore. It was snowing hard from the east, and the sea was in disorder. Then some sanderlings, 5 inches long, with beaks like wire, flew in, snowflakes on their backs, and settled in a row behind the ducks, whose backs were also covered with snow, so close they were all but touching, they were all but under the roof of the ducks' tails. So the wind pretty much blew over them. They stayed that way motionless for maybe an hour. Then the sanderlings, each a handful of feathers, shifted and were blown away, out over the water, which was still raging. But somehow they came back, and again the ducks, like a feathered hedge, let them crouch there and live. If someone you didn't know told you this, as I'm telling you this, would you believe it? Belief isn't always easy, but this much I have learned, if not anything else, to live with my eyes open. I know what everyone wants is a miracle. This wasn't a miracle, unless, of course, kindness, as now and again some rare person has suggested, is a miracle, as surely it is. It occurs to me that Mary Oliver couldn't have written a poem like this unless she had spent some time watching how those black ducks behaved and how those little sanderlings got in this pattern of being sheltered under the tails of those black ducks. She must have spent a while outside in the crazy weather with snow and wind, just watching and listening at what was unfolding in front of her. She concluded that all of this, the kindness of the black ducks who sheltered the sanderlings, was in the realm of the miraculous. God spoke to Mary Oliver in a language that she could understand. But notice also that she, Mary Oliver, was also living with her eyes open, with open time, in prayerful attentiveness, and with faith. I would suspect that there is no good poem without first a period of waiting and prayerful attentiveness. And I think that also there is no Pentecost unless there is also a time of waiting and praying and paying attention. Because Pentecost is a miracle story. This is a story of tongues of fire resting on people's heads and people speaking in languages that they didn't learn growing up, but now they find themselves empowered to speak and communicating with others whom they wouldn't normally associate with. But before any of this happened in chapter 2, chapter 1 happened. And in chapter 1 of Acts, the story goes that the disciples were gathered in the room, in this upper room. Jesus had left them, ascended into heaven. Their best friend and their leader was gone. They were alone. There was nothing. They were waiting for the Spirit, but the Spirit hadn't arrived yet, and they had to wait, and they were praying, and they waited, and they prayed, and they watched, and they prayed, and they waited, and they slept, and they prayed, and they waited. They ate breakfast, they longed for help, they prayed, and they waited. Maybe they walked along the beach, watching for signs under the starlit sky. I don't know, but the scriptures say they waited and prayed before the Spirit came. And all they had to hold on to was the promise that Jesus had given them, saying, "The Spirit will come to you and empower you and be your advocate." And the Spirit, all they had to hold on to was the promise that they would be given power to become witnesses to others. But before the Spirit, there was waiting and praying. And I believe that there are two great challenges in this story for us today. The first big challenge for us is to be people who wait and listen and pray. How do we practice waiting in a world of instant everything? How do we learn to be people who wait and listen in a world where there's Google and there's grab it and get it quickly? Why wait? That's the message that we hear all the time. I worry that we don't know how to be people who wait and pray. And I think praying is related to waiting. So if we struggle to wait, then we probably struggle to pray. We have such overscheduled lives and overstuffed calendars. We're overly distracted and compulsive. I wonder, do we expect the Spirit to get a word in edgewise in our lives? How can God communicate in a language that we know to us if we aren't looking to hear from the Spirit anytime soon? Or is maybe the most we expect from the Spirit is just for her to affirm the existing life we're already living? She won't challenge me, or she'll just affirm me. And I wonder if we really know how to be people who wait and want our lives to be disrupted by the Spirit. Otherwise, I fear that the miracles will just pass us by. And we'll be like those sidelined skeptics in the story on that great day who say, "Are these people drunk? It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Does anyone reasonable or educated come from Galilee?" The miracle of communication across barriers that would normally segregate people is happening right in front of their eyes. And yet we can dismiss it. We can discount it as nothing much, nothing important, nothing miraculous. Or worse, we don't notice it happening at all because we're looking up at the clouds waiting for God to write something in the sky. I think the second great challenge for us in this story is really what the first generation of disciples struggled with, and that is, to use a cliche, they were the ones that they had been waiting for. God didn't bend trees to the ground to prove to people that God existed. But God did ask these disciples to become the representation of God, become the representation of the God they knew in Jesus Christ. Since they were waiting and praying, the Holy Spirit went ahead and spoke to them in a language that they understood and moved them out of their paralyzing sense of loss and grief and empowered them to go out of their rooms out into the streets of Jerusalem. They were to become like little Christs everywhere they went. And I think this is our biggest challenge too, to see ourselves as the ones that God wants to empower as representatives of the God we know in Jesus Christ. Perhaps we're afraid to see ourselves as the ones who catch fire for love and justice. Marianne Williamson said that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Perhaps we are afraid of the miracle that we can become if we were to catch fire for the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit bestows on each of us. I think a miracle today could mean that you and I start to hear ourselves as being called to catch on fire and to burn in our hearts with that desire to show the world what it means to live as children of God. Friends, God is able to speak to us in a language that we can understand. Will we slow down and watch and wait and listen and pay attention? And when we do hear from the Creator, will we dismiss it? Will we dismiss the miracle of communication? Or will we take it as coming from the Creator, who may not be writing messages in the sky, but may be writing messages on our hearts? And can we begin to imagine ourselves as the ones who catch on fire and with burning hearts go out and share the good news of love with those we meet and even with those who we would normally not associate with? Amen.